We're going to make a start. We're shooting for coffee at 10:45. Yeah, that's the plan. So that's what I'm shooting for. So let's go for it. It's great to see you all this morning. Welcome, if you just joined us. My name's Richard. I'm from Leeds, and we are doing a little series through the day, and started last night thinking about good news stories and looking in particular at Luke's gospel in the Bible. And my title this morning is Amazed. Amazed. Twice we're told in the Gospels that Jesus was amazed by faith. Once in Mark chapter 6, he was amazed by the lack of faith, sadly, with people in his hometown where he grew up. But this story is another one, the other one where he is amazed, which we're going to have a look at in a moment. Before we do, I want to tell you a story that amazed me when it happened. It's a story of Steve the bus driver. Steve the bus driver lived in Oxford. He lived on the Blackbird Leys estate where Kate, my wife and I, lived. And his wife came to our church, but not Steve. Steve was one of these kind of like, my background is physics, right? Steve was what I would term an amateur scientist. He reckoned that science had proved that God didn't exist, right? Which actually is a load of rubbish. Science can answer very well questions like how and when, but it can't answer questions like who and why. It doesn't answer the deeper questions. But he was one of these kind of like amateur scientist type, and he was insistent, and he was kind of like, you just seem to be as far away from making a connection with God as there could possibly be, this guy. Then he came up to me one day, he said, "Hey, Rich, I hear you're doing an Alpha course, it's Intro to Christianity." I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm coming." And I was shocked. He says, "Don't get your hopes up, though. I'm coming to trash your Alpha." Is that all right, mate? And I said, "Well, yeah, if you want, you can come and you can see if you can trash it." So he got himself printed. He was into The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Anyone sort of read the book or seen? Yeah, okay. It's a little bit dated now. But there's a little bit in that where these guys make this computer, the universe's biggest computer called Deep Thought, and they give him a task to come up with the answer to life, the universe, and everything. And it takes him 7.5 million years, this computer, to come up with an answer. And when he comes up with the answer, he says, and they say, "Have you got an answer for us?" And he goes, "Yeah." He said, what is it?" He said, "Well, you're not going to like it." He said, "Well, come on, tell us the answer." He said, "Well, you're really not going to like it." He said, "What's the answer?" 42. That's the answer the computer has to the life, the universe, and everything. 42. And that's the joke. It's just a meaningless answer. So he gets his T-shirt printed to Steve with the number 42 on it to wear for Alpha. This is where he was at. Anyway, so we get going with the Alpha course, and partway through the Alpha course, Steve the bus driver has a crash. Somebody drives into his bus, and he gets thrown against the steering wheel, and he doesn't break his ribs, but his ribs get sprung in and out, so it's really painful. And he has got a seriously impressive steering wheel-shaped bruise across his chest here. So he's signed off sick from work. And he misses one of the Alphas, so I go around with the video, and I'm showing the video of the Alpha, and we just have a chat. And at the end, I just say, "Hey, can I pray for you?" Now, I have to admit, I didn't have a great deal of faith. I was just kind of like doing it because I felt, well, I ought to. This guy's in serious pain. So I pray for him. And I'm walking back home, because he just lived around the corner from us, and my phone goes, and it's Steve. He says, Rich, get back here. You have seriously freaked me out. So I go back, and he opens the door, and his eyes are as wide as saucers, and he's doing this. He's thumping his chest, and he pulls his shirt up because, look, he's gone. The brood has just disappeared, and he's thumping his chest and says, "What's happened? What's happened? What did you do to me?" And I'm thinking, well, I didn't do out, but God has. And that day, Steve gave his life to the Lord, asked Jesus into his life. Sadly, he then had another accident 4 weeks later, and he was killed. And I remember sort of sitting at home crying actually about it and praying. And I felt God just drop this little thought into my mind. It's all right. He's with me. It's all right. But that's Steve, the bus driver, and a story that amazed me. But let's look at another story. If it goes the next slide. This is a story of a centurion, a middle-ranking army officer. He was stationed at Capernaum, which was the place that Jesus kind of like had made home. And he's probably used to fighting, bloodshed, using force. Normally soldiers like him would be expected to keep their distance from the local population, probably despising them, but not this guy. So we're just going to read this story, that amazed Jesus, faith that amazed Jesus. Here we go. It's Luke chapter 7, if you want to turn to it. It's going to come on the screen anyway. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people, they just finished what we would call the Sermon on the Plain. He returned to Capernaum. At that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help this man. "If anyone deserves your help, he does," they said, "for he loves the Jewish people and even built a synagogue for us." So Jesus went with them. But just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, "Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I'm not worthy of such an honor. I am not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, "I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel." And when the officer's friends returned to his house, they found the slave completely healed. That evening, Jesus got out his smartphone and he sent this emoji to his disciples. If you can just go on to the next slide. There we go. He was amazed. And normally people were amazed, astonished, astounded by what Jesus did, his healings, his teachings. But here it's the other way around. Here we have this army officer trained to do what he's told to do without hesitation, trained also to give orders and expect them to be responded to immediately. But also somebody clearly, from what the elders are saying, that has come to love and respect the Jewish people. He was a humble Gentile who was looking in at Israel and Israel's God, and liking what he saw. The healing of the servant is important, especially if you're the servant, but it's not really the main point of the story. The main point is amazement, the amazement of Jesus, the sheer quality of this man's faith. If you can just go on to the next one, that'd be great. This faith isn't some sort of abstract belief in God. It's not just kind of like he's read a bit of doctrine and kind of like thinks and believes it in his head. This is simple, clear belief that when Jesus commands something's going to happen, it's going to happen. This is what this guy thinks. It's just like a commanding officer. Where's he get it from? Where does this centurion get this faith from? Well, we don't know. Maybe he heard Jesus. Maybe he's just heard about him. Maybe he heard his teaching. Maybe he's seen him heal somebody. We just don't know where he got it from. But what we do know is that it amazed Jesus. And he was prepared to recognize this centurion, something that few were willing to admit. God was at work through Jesus. He didn't have the Jewish religious upbringing like the people around him, but he grasped something. He grasped something that many of them had not grasped. At the center of the Jewish faith, you see, is the one true God, the God of all Israel, the sovereign one, the one of the God of the whole universe, the heavens and earth. And this guy had seen something that for the rest around was shocking news. This one true God was personally present in Jesus Christ. He'd seen it. He'd seen something. And this is what amazed Jesus. If you just go on to the next one. God had become man. The one true God, the God over all, the God of all creation, the God who made all, the God of all history, the all-powerful, infinite, sovereign, transcendent God, had become a man and was there in this guy's town. He didn't need, God didn't need to come to his house. This guy wasn't worthy to have God in his house. He didn't need to even come and lay his hands on his servant or anything like that. He didn't even need to see his servant. He just had to say it, and it was going to happen because he's God. And this is what this guy had seen. And we're thinking about good news. Firstly, if you just go on to the next one. Good news. First of the first bit of good news that Luke is wanting us to see here is that we, when we connect with Jesus, are in relationship with the God of the universe, not just a good mate. He really is the God of the universe. And I want us just to, you need to indulge me now for a moment. We're going to do some physics, but it's not difficult physics, right? We're going to do a little bit of astrophysics. But it's astrophysics from the Alpha video, so it's all right, okay? So there's going to be some nice pictures, and they're going to explain it. Okay, it's just going to be numbers, big numbers, but it's just going to be numbers. So we're going to have a little go at getting it to 848 of the Alpha video. Is that going to work for us? One sec whilst we find the spot.
Growing up, I was a reluctant prayer, despite being surrounded by prayer. At school, we had
did you know that
heaven?
And then he loved you. We're just confused because we don't know what we haven't done for you. And then he just said, I would love it if you opened the door. Love you. We're just confused because we don't know what we haven't done. We're just confused because we don't know what we haven't done.
This is the Alpha video. Yeah, we're just going to get a few numbers.
I would love it if you opened the door. I really want to give you a hug
about the universe.
And then,
just listen.
A few years later, I don't know what I was thinking about, but I was just thinking about that moment.
The most. It's just the size of the universe.
Like
the known universe. We don't know it all yet. This is what we've discovered.
That I've ever seen in my life.
With science, just and if you need to know more, probably
come
can talk
and show
to
mercy.
Patrick, because he's an astrophysicist. There.
My dad's just the best. So he'll be able to tell you.
Jesus tells us to pray to our Father in heaven. This loving Father is also the creator of the entire cosmos.
The universe is vast. The sun, which is 93 million miles away from our Earth, is so large that 960,000 Earths could fit inside it. Did you know that the sun is one of 300 billion stars in our galaxy? Our galaxy is one of 100 billion galaxies. For every grain of sand on the Earth's beaches, there are a million stars. In a throwaway line in the book of Genesis, the writer says, "He made the stars also," just like that. The whole universe. We pray to the creator of the universe. He's transcendent, outside of time, yet at the same time, he's immanent.
Prayer is to the Father, the creator and sustainer of everything, but it's also through the...
Just a few numbers there for you. So for every grain of sand on the seashores in the world, there are a million stars. Blows your mind, doesn't it? You just cannot get your head around that. And when we pray... We pray to the God of the universe. We pray to the one who made it all. And as physicists, we might be able to have some idea about how we might have made it, but we can't get our heads around the vastness of it, how incredible it is. So if you just go back, can we go back to the PowerPoint now? Is that all right? Thank you. So that's the first bit of good news that he's wanting us to see. If we just run through to the bit we're at. The first bit is when we are in relationship with the God of the universe. The second bit is this. When we pray, just click it one more time. Should appear. There we go. Great. Thank you. We're asking the one who has all authority. And that's what Luke is wanting us to see. This Gentile, this centurion, is a forerunner, a model for us. He's come into relationship. And as we come into relationship with God, we connect with the one who's got all authority. The God who is almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-in-all. The God who made all, directs all history, who will one day be known by all people and one day will put all things right. What Luke is saying is, let this blow your mind. Let this good news blow your mind. That when you pray, you're talking the one who did all that. You get to know, you get to be forgiven, you get to serve, you get to worship, and you get to live forever with the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And that's what he's wanting us to see. This is extraordinary good news, that we're connecting and can pray to the one. And we can, when we pray, he's saying, look, think like of that like that centurion. You're asking the one who just needs to say it, and he gets done. He's got that sort of authority. But there's another angle to the story. If you just go on to the third one. And just click it one more time. One more time. That's it. Centurion. The good news is also this, a different angle to the story, is that Jesus can reach anyone. He can reach this centurion. How on earth did he do it? I mean, I can't quite understand how on earth this centurion saw it. How did he have faith? Here's a soldier who's probably killed, maimed, wounded people. He's a Gentile, he's an outsider to these people. And yet, he has this faith that is so strong, so clear, so kind of like down to earth as well, that it amazes Jesus. And that's the other point of the story. Not just Jesus' amazement, but that Jesus is God, God Almighty, all-loving, the great I am, and nothing, nothing, nothing is beyond him. And no one, no one, no one is outside his reach. And that's the other point to the story. And it takes me back to Steve's story. It takes me back to what God said when Samuel was choosing David to be king. And God said, man looks on the outside appearance, but God looks at the heart. We have no idea what God is doing in people's hearts. That day when I was able to pray with Steve, all of the bravado fell away. You know, God had just done, it healed him. He was just stunned by it. And all the bravado fell away. And he basically said to me, Rich, I've wanted this for a long time. I've wanted it. It's not like suddenly God has proved himself to me. Actually, deep down inside, I wanted this. And I've not known how to get it. And I've not known how I can get beyond my pride. And all the things I've said and joked about, it's kind of like created this barrier and I couldn't get beyond it. But God knew. God knew what was going on deep inside that guy. And he reached him. We have no idea what's going on inside people. We have no idea the people we'll be chatting to and telling our stories with a bit later. We've got no idea what God's doing in their lives, how he's drawing close, what he's doing. But we can be certain, going back to what we said last night, Luke is writing this gospel so we can be certain. We can be certain of this. Jesus, as this centurion had seen, is almighty. He is the God, the creator of the universe. As Luke will go on to say in his gospel, he is also definitely 100% alive. The resurrection is a fact of history, as Luke will portray it as. And Jesus, the third thing we can be sure of and be amazed by, is he is capable of reaching anyone. I look back at Steve and I think, well, if Jesus could get in, he can get anyone. And it's coffee time. So why don't we just pray for a moment? We've got 2 minutes before we've got coffee, so let's just pray. And then we'll go and grab a coffee. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you that you're the God of the universe and you're also the Saviour of the world. Lord, that's what you're described as is in John's Gospel. And we want to come to you, you're the Saviour of the world. And we want to pray, Lord, that you would first and foremost for us help us to see you in a bit bigger way. Lord, we're all on a journey of discovery about who you are. And that journey never ends until we actually see you face to face. And we want to take another step ourselves on this journey. And let your bigness and your power and your might wow us again. We want to have faces like that emoji, Lord. We're amazed by you. We're amazed by who you are. We're amazed that we get to know you. We're amazed that we get to pray to the one who has all authority. We're amazed that you draw close. We're amazed that although you're that transcendent God who made the whole universe, you're also close, you're also imminent to us. You're closer than a brother. And we're amazed. But Lord, also, we want to pray, Lord, that you draw close to everybody who's going to be here today. Us and everybody else, that you draw close. And that for all of us, We'd be amazed by you. We'd be amazed by your love and your kindness and your compassion. Lord, would you draw close to us all today? Amen.